Part 4. You will hear an interview with a conservationist about a project involving tigers. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 4.
Anyone who knows anything about animals native to South Africa would not expect to see a tiger roaming around there unless it was in a zoo. And yet, that is what you might just see if you toured the Laohu Plateau, 370 miles south of Johannesburg. Mark Kelly explains.
These South China tigers roaming free in South Africa are there courtesy of Save China's Tigers, a project which was established by Lee Kwan and her husband, Stuart Bray, in 2000. The whole point of the project is to take the tigers back to where they belong. Obviously, that can't be done until they have learnt to hunt for themselves, and that's why they are not kept in cages or enclosures as they would be if they were in a zoo. You see, they came to South Africa from Shanghai Zoo as tiger cubs and had never been taught by their mothers how to hunt.
Why haven't they been able to learn to hunt in China?
The kind of park or reserve suitable for large predators like lions and tigers, which South Africa is famous for, does not yet exist in China. The two Chinese parks which have been proposed as tiger reserves are in Jiangxi and Hunan provinces, but at 60 square miles and 40 square miles, they are not large enough to support a wild population.
I see. And are the grasslands of South Africa the best place to prepare the tigers for life in the forests of China?
Well, they're not perfect, but Lee Kwan is convinced the tigers will be able to adapt to a different habitat. They have already shown how adaptable they are by learning how to hunt animals they would never come across in their native China.
So why did this project become necessary in the first place?
In the 1940s, there were around 4,000 South China tigers living in the South Yangtze Valley, and many more elsewhere. By the 1950s, these tigers were regarded as a threat because they had begun to eat farm animals. The result was that hunters were encouraged to kill tigers and were actually given a fee for every tiger they killed. This continued uncontrolled until the 1970s, when a law protecting tigers was passed. Unfortunately, the law didn't stop the killing because hunters were rarely arrested. Today, there are too few of them in the wild to survive, so the South China tiger's future depends on the 70 or so animals in Chinese zoos, together with those on the Laohu Plateau.
Is it only the South China tiger that is in danger of extinction?
No, not at all. In fact, 3 of the 9 subspecies are already extinct. The future of the other 6 subspecies is not all bright either. The Sumatra, Malay, Indonesian, and South China tigers are in immediate danger of becoming extinct. Of these 4, the Malay tiger is doing best, but with only 500 to 600 of them living wild in Malaysia, their situation is not hopeful. The only good news comes from southeastern Russia, where the Amur tiger population is steadily increasing due to conservation efforts.
I thought India had a successful tiger conservation program.
There's no doubt that great efforts are being made in that country, but illegal hunting has not stopped, which is keeping the animal under threat.
Now, there has been some criticism of the kind of captive breeding that Save China's Tigers is involved in. Do you think Lee Kwan's project deserves this type of criticism?
No, I don't think it does. It's a fact that when there are only a few animals of a certain species left, there is a danger of genetic problems occurring, but not all such problems fail. Take the Californian condor. There are now over 100 of these birds flying free in the American Southwest. In 1987, they could only be seen in zoos.
What about the criticism that has been specifically aimed at Save China's Tigers?
Well, there's been no shortage of that, as well as the general arguments concerning the difficulty of getting tigers to produce enough healthy cubs. There are some other worries. The director of Save the Tiger Fund, who is an expert in tiger conservation, believes the project should have taken place in China. His worry is that because Li Kuan's tigers are in another continent, they might get sick and die because they are in an unnatural environment.
With so much doubt surrounding Save China's Tigers, is Li Kuan's point of view likely to change?
Definitely not. While she admits that there are risks involved in what she is doing, she says that the situation which the South China Tiger finds itself in means that desperate measures are needed. The problem, she says, is that she is doing things differently, and that's upset people who don't like any changes in the way conservation projects are carried out. She can understand why she has been criticized, but she believes that something must be done while there is something to be saved. So she claims she is right to continue as long as there is a chance of success. After all, the South China Tiger cannot save itself.
And I think that's the kind of optimism we need.
Now you'll hear part four again.
Anyone who knows anything about animals native to South Africa would not expect to see a tiger roaming around there unless it was in a zoo. And yet, that is what you might just see if you toured the Laohu Plateau, 370 miles south of Johannesburg. Mark Kelly explains.
These South China tigers roaming free in South Africa are there courtesy of Save China's Tigers, a project which was established by Li Kuan and her husband, Stuart Bray, in 2000. The whole point of the project is to take the tigers back to where they belong. Obviously, that can't be done until they have learnt to hunt for themselves, and that's why they are not kept in cages or enclosures as they would be if they were in a zoo. You see, they came to South Africa from Shanghai Zoo as tiger cubs, and had never been taught by their mothers how to hunt.
Why haven't they been able to learn to hunt in China?
The kind of park or reserve suitable for large predators like lions and tigers, which South Africa is famous for, does not yet exist in China. The two Chinese parks which have been proposed as tiger reserves are in Jiangxi and Hunan provinces, but at 60 square miles and 40 square miles, they are not large enough to support a wild population.
I see. And are the grasslands of South Africa the best place to prepare the tigers for life in the forests of China?
Well, they're not perfect, but Li Kuan is convinced the tigers will be able to adapt to a different habitat. They have already shown how adaptable they are by learning how to hunt animals they would never come across in their native China.
So why did this project become necessary in the first place?
In the 1940s, there were around 4,000 South China tigers living in the South Yangtze Valley, and many more elsewhere. By the 1950s, these tigers were regarded as a threat because they had begun to eat farm animals. The result was that hunters were encouraged to kill tigers and were actually given a fee for every tiger they killed. This continued uncontrolled until the 1970s, when a law protecting tigers was passed. Unfortunately, the law didn't stop the killing because hunters were rarely arrested. Today, there are too few of them in the wild to survive, so the South China Tiger's future depends on the 70 or so animals in Chinese zoos, together with those on the Laohu Plateau.
Is it only the South China Tiger that is in danger of extinction?
No, not at all. In fact, 3 of the 9 subspecies are already extinct. The future of the other 6 subspecies is not all bright either. The Sumatra, Malay, Indonesian and South China tigers are in immediate danger of becoming extinct. Of these 4, the Malay tiger is doing best, but with only 500 to 600 of them living wild in Malaysia, their situation is not hopeful. The only good news comes from southeastern Russia, where the Amur tiger population is steadily increasing due to conservation efforts.
I thought India had a successful tiger conservation program.
There's no doubt that great efforts are being made in that country, but illegal hunting has not stopped, which is keeping the animal under threat.
Now, there has been some criticism of the kind of captive breeding that Save China's Tigers is involved in. Do you think Li Kuan's project deserves this type of criticism?
No, I don't think it does. It's a fact that when there are only a few animals of a certain species left, there is a danger of genetic problems occurring, but not all such problems fail. Take the Californian condor. There are now over 100 of these birds flying free in the American Southwest. In 1987, they could only be seen in zoos.
What about the criticism that has been specifically aimed at Save China's Tigers?
Well, there's been no shortage of that. As well as the general arguments concerning the difficulty of getting tigers to produce enough healthy cubs, there are some other worries. The director of Save the Tiger Fund, who is an expert in tiger conservation, believes the project should have taken place in China. His worry is that because Li Kuan's tigers are in another continent, they might get sick and die because they are in an unnatural environment.
With so much doubt surrounding Save China's Tigers, is Li Kuan's point of view likely to change?
Definitely not. While she admits that there are risks involved in what she is doing, she says that the situation which the South China Tiger finds itself in means that desperate measures are needed. The problem, she says, is that she is doing things differently, and that's upset people who don't like any changes in the way conservation projects are carried out. She can understand why she has been criticized, but she believes that something must be done while there is something to be saved. So she claims she is right to continue as long as there is a chance of success. After all, the South China Tiger cannot save itself.
And I think that's the kind of optimism we need.
That is the end of part 4.